Are you ready for a new car? Are you set on getting a great deal? Then now's the time to get to Toyota's Ready, Set, Go sales event, where you can take advantage of incredible deals like low leases and huge factory cashback offers on many of our most popular models, including the all-new RAV4, a tough new Tacoma, a sporty Camry, and more. So ready, set, go see your Southern California Toyota dealer today or visit buyatoyota.com for all current offers. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program Dave Nassani, Caregiver Dave. Dave, how are you? And I tell you, the last 2 weeks, we've had some amazing athletes that understand life after sports. And it's so refreshing, isn't it, with the number of athletes that, you know, don't know what they're going to do once they retire.
You know, I've heard enough of the stories of NFL retired players who are broke and they went through all their money, but it's refreshing to find some that are actually entrepreneurs. So today we're talking about Corey Jackson, former NFL defensive lineman, Cleveland Browns, Denver Broncos, and now he's a speaker and peak performance practitioner. And he tells a story how he went from working at Walmart to becoming an NFL athlete. I'm excited to have you on, Corey. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Did I get it all right?
Yeah, he hit it except the business. You've hit everything except the business, but we'll get to that. And that's perfect. Short introduction, short but sweet, but some interesting stuff.
Well, I didn't want to steal his thunder.
No, don't ever steal his thunder.
The NFL. Yeah, I didn't want to steal your thunder. He wrote to the NFL, Corey, was very different compared to other players. Tell me about it.
Yeah, you know, like most kids growing up, I wanted to be a professional athlete. When I was 5 years old, I told myself that's what I was going to be. And initially, I was a basketball player. So I was playing basketball and just really putting in tons and tons of hours, you know, just trying to get to the NBA. Fast forward the story a little bit, got to high school, ended up being the best basketball player in my entire area. Wow. And so, you know, all outward appearances, people was like, wow, he may be on the track to do exactly what he set out to do. Mm-hmm. But I had a huge problem reading. Comprehension just struggled a lot in school. So one day my guidance counselor was like, yeah, I think college is not going to be the deal for you. And it's just one of those things where he had all the facts, all the evidence, and it was true. You know, I wasn't ready for college, and mm-hmm. I started working at Walmart. Took a job at Walmart making $7 an hour, and I did it for a year. And it was really the most chaotic, miserable year of my life. You know, I'm doing something I don't want to do. My lifelong dreams just seem to have, you know, just blown in the wind and it's been gone. And now I'm stuck making $7 an hour working at Walmart. But fortunately for me, I had like kind of this thing where I just realized that everybody can tell, you know, because I got turned down by every Division I college in America, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I had this thing. I was like, well, I didn't get picked. And I was thinking in life, and this is a great life lesson for me, by the way. Like, this was a perfect lesson for me. So I didn't get picked to go do what I thought I was supposed to do, right? And this happens to all of us. You know, we all find ourselves in those times where, like, man, I didn't get it selected for the job, or I didn't get the thing or whatever, right? Well, what I realized was I didn't have to wait for somebody to pick me, right? And it was just the most freeing thing I ever experienced when I realized that. And so literally, I went to Walmart, quit my job. And I heard about a junior college called Ranger College in Texas, right? And so I've never been out of state of South Carolina. I'm 19 years old, never been anywhere, right? And so I quit my job. I go to the bus station, and I said, I need a bus ticket to Ranger, Texas. Now, once you've heard no so many times, you start to try to figure out how to make sure you don't hear no again, right? And so one thing that I knew I could do was not apply for the school, not enroll in the school, and not call the coaches and talk to them, right? I said, if I don't do those things, they can't tell me no, right? So now I'm at the bus station. I tell the lady I need a ticket, she tells me how much the round trip ticket is, and I don't have enough money to buy the ticket. So I said, well, how much is the one way? She tells me, and I have enough money for the one way, so I buy the one way ticket.
There you go.
Wow, okay.
The one way ticket is very important and very instrumental in this situation, because when I get on the bus, I soon realize that my heart is beating out of my chest. You know, like, I'm like, I have this huge anxiety, and I'm terrified. And so every time, I don't know if you guys ever been on a Greyhound bus before, but a Greyhound bus stops like in a million cities. Like, I mean,
right,
just little towns you never heard
exactly,
of before, never
yeah,
thought of before. Right? And I got I have 2 days of this. And so every time that bus will stop, I wanted to get off, right? I'm like, this is crazy. I don't want to, you know, I want to go home. But I have a round trip ticket, no money. I have to stay on this bus. So
they call that in the business burning the ship. So you success is your only option. Quitting is not an option.
Exactly. I had no, and when you don't have any money, very few options, So, I'm on this bus. I make it to Texas, get to the town ranger, and I call the basketball coach from the bus station. I tell the guy, you know, who I was, and he has no idea who I am. And he don't know I'm literally at the bus station. So he tells me, say, hey, man, just have your coach send me some film and some stats, and I'll let you know if I want to recruit you. And I was like, well, I can't do that. He's like, why? Man, I'm at the bus station. I need a ride, right? And so the guy, man, he fortunately for me, he came, he picked me up, and then he told me in every way he could that he couldn't help me. You know, he said, listen, I have 25 players on my team. I don't have any scholarships. You haven't applied for the school. You haven't enrolled in the school. I don't even know if you can get into school. I don't know what you're going to do, you know. And then he decided to drop me off at the admissions office. So I go in there, and they're trying to get me into school. And finally, they're like, well, we can get you into school. How are you going to pay for it? I have no money, $0.
This is like the movie Rudy. You know the movie Rudy? His
yeah,
dream is to go play for Notre Dame, and he doesn't have anything going for him. And this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But I tell people all the time, when you have the least to lose is when you have the most. Like, that's when you
that's
can
true
do the most.
Yep.
You know, because you don't have far to fall.
Not at all.
And so, yeah, yeah. So,
they're going to make a movie out of this, buddy.
Well, we actually, really interesting, we started on a documentary because we got all our coaches and everybody that was involved in my life in that time together, and we started a documentary just talking about
there
that experience, because everybody's seen it from a different lens, which is really interesting. But once I walk out of this admissions office, literally 50 yards away was a gymnasium. And it's like this old gym. It's not like,
Right, exactly. You're talking Ranger College. I just learned
yeah
of Ranger College this week because I was prospecting them for something. And I'd never heard of Ranger College in my life. Now I get a graduate from Ranger College, JUCO. It's like, wow. And here's the thing, Corey, the humbling. I'm going to kind of interrupt you for a second just to tell a little bit of a story. Think about how humbling this is. You're one of the best college high school basketball players in the country. And you literally couldn't get any schools because of your academics. Now you go after your dream, and a coach tells you, I don't want you to play for me, before he even knows that you were one of great high school basketball player, probably better than a lot of the kids at Ranger.
Yeah.
So you're really having to really use a lot of humility in these experiences.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you have to be so humble by that, right? And so, you know, just going from, you know, having that type of high school career to like nobody really cares about you anymore, right? Like, but the thing was, when I walked into that gym, the guys were in there playing, and I'm watching them play, and I sat there and watched maybe a few games, and the coach comes up and says, "Hey, they just playing pickup, so you know, next game if you want to play, feel free." So next game started, I walked on the court. None of these guys know who I am, by the way, right? So I already knew they wasn't going to pass me the ball, first of all. I knew that wasn't going to happen, right? So I walk on the court, and I'm on the court for like 30 seconds before something happens. You know, the guy on my team takes this horrible, awkward-looking three-point shot. And so I'm saying, oh, I need to run to the paint. I'm going to get the rebound because I know he's going to miss, right? This is a horrible shot. And so the ball's flying through the air, and three other guys are battling me for position. they get the rebound too. The ball hits the back of the rim, pops up. I jump. These other guys jump too. So we all in the air fighting for this one ball. But I literally just came 2 days on the bus. I have no money. I don't know where I'm going to sleep. I don't know what I'm going to eat. There's no way these boys are going to get this ball. And so I grabbed the ball with both hands, and I slammed the ball back in, and I'm swinging on the rim. And literally by the time I came from the rim down to the floor, the coach was onto the court. He stopped the whole game. Everybody stopped. And he says, listen, I don't know why you came here, but I'm glad you did. Don't worry about anything. We want you on this team. And that was how I got into college, you know, which was just jumping on a bus and
wow,
you know, walking onto a court and dunking on three guys. And you know, it started from there, which really changed my life.
Yeah, being an undrafted free agent is not the easiest way to make a team.
Exactly.
And Dave,
exactly.
What Dave was pointing at is undrafted free agent for the NFL. So I still need to know the story. And think about this, Dave. He's a professional football player. He's playing college JUCO basketball. How did that happen to go from basketball to football? I mean, you're saying you're pretty good. You're playing at Ranger College. And how did you become a football player?
It's a great question.
I literally became one of the best junior college players in the state of Texas. Got a scholarship to the University of Nevada. Averaged a double-double. Was one of the top rebounders in the nation, actually. And I didn't get drafted into the NBA. And I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a chance to play in the NBA, but I didn't get drafted. And so when I didn't get drafted, I got a bunch of offers to go overseas and play in Europe, and I didn't want to go. I just didn't feel like that was for me. And so I came back to University of Nevada to finish my degree, and I ran into one of the football coaches. And he was like, hey, man, you're one of my favorite basketball players. Love watching you play. And then he says, but you know you were playing the wrong sport, right? And I was like, what? What do you mean? He said, yeah, man, you're playing the wrong sport. And he said, by the way, you have a fifth year. You can play any sports you want now. And I didn't know that. And so he says, listen, you need to come out and play football. And I went out that semester and played football. And it literally was one of the hardest things to do, you know, to really transition into a football player. Mm. So I ended up only playing 12 plays, which is really interesting. 12 plays, not 12 games, 12 plays. And so when the season ended, I just assumed that, you know, that was it. But we had a pro day at the school, and I wasn't planning to participate. And I'm at my apartment, and my coach calls, and he says, listen, man, you need to get up here to the school because we have 30 NFL scouts up here asking about you. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what do you mean?
Really?
He's like, yeah, we have 30 NFL scouts up here asking about you. And they wanted to see me work out, and I went and did this workout and just killed it. I destroyed it. And literally, once that workout was over, my phone went crazy, agents calling, wanting to represent me. And I knew then, like, something's about to happen, you know, like, something's about to happen. And so the draft came and all that good stuff, and I ended up signing with the Cleveland Browns as a free agent. Which I was actually projected to get drafted in the fifth round by the Dolphins, and they ended up trading their fifth-round pick. And so I fell to a free agent, and then I signed with the Cleveland Browns. And so, yeah, that's pretty much how that happened, you know, how that transition from basketball to football happened.
That's amazing.
It's a story you don't hear a lot of, especially with somebody who only played 12 plays in college and ended up being in the NFL, Dave. Think about that, 12 plays, not 12 games, 12 plays. He thinks he didn't even hit the field that much, and literally he ended up in the NFL. So, Dave,
why did he tell you, you're in the wrong sport? What did he see about you in basketball that made him think that you belonged to football?
Yeah, so how I played basketball, like I said, I was one of the top rebounders in the nation, but I was really a very physical basketball player, extremely physical, but I was really agile and quick at the same time. And so a lot of the things I did to get rebounds kind of transitioned naturally over to being able to rush the passer and get people's hands off you and get around them really quickly and things like that. And so those were some of the things that they were able to see. And so, but the funny thing about it was the minute I got on the campus of University of Nevada, my basketball coaches, because I was in, when I tell you phenomenal shape, you know, at maybe 6% body fat, I mean, just really like, just ripped up. My basketball coaches was like, hey, man, we're going to need you to stay away from those football coaches. Because I guess they kind of, they could tell, like, I had a body for football. And so they would always make a joke about that. But none of us ever thought I was going to play football.
Well, aren't you glad that you went out of your comfort zone, you hopped on a Greyhound bus, and you didn't get off at all those different stops?
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny because it's really – what I just described to you guys was kind of my story of going from Walmart to the NFL, but it's really about – this is what entrepreneurship is. It's really the same concept.
It truly is,
the same emotion, the same type of
thing. Yeah.
And so these are some of the things that, one, kind of helps me when, you know, I'm working with different companies or teaching people and things like that, because these are things that you really experience in entrepreneurship.
And I believe entrepreneurs are born. Very few of them are made, because it just takes a mentality. So you probably didn't even know you were an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I never thought about it. I never thought about it. But these kind of intrinsic values
it takes chutzpah to do what you did, and to have the nerves of steel to just go through that. And even though, you know, you were wavering and you had your doubts, the bottom line is you didn't quit.
I have a story that kind of, I see why I'm an entrepreneur too, Corey and Dave, and I'm going to go right then jump to a question, but real quick story. But this simple, quick story is, I went ahead and I was working minor leagues of pro wrestling, and Cactus Jack, Mick Foley tells me, hey, Neil, you know, you work weekend pro wrestling matches. You're never going to get to the next level. You need to go down south to this organization down south in Arkansas and in Missouri and go work there 5 days a week. Once you do that, you'll learn your craft in pro wrestling. So I sent my, information and my picture, and the guy got back to me and said, you got to move out there. So I went out from being a East Coast boy to living down south and learn the sport of pro wrestling from the best. And I mean, I just did the minor leagues and everything, but it really is getting out of my comfort zone. So anything that I go through in my life in entrepreneurship, I'll take chances because of what I did in pro wrestling. So it's same thing with Corey. Now, Corey, did you have a good mindset throughout your football career that you were looking for life after football too?
Yeah. Well, this was really fortunate. I tell people all the time that your disadvantages are your advantages, right? And so my experience leading up to just have the opportunity to be in the NFL put me in position to think that way, because I always knew that, one, because I signed as a free agent, I'm always like one cut away from being back home, right? And so I knew that it wasn't a lot of security for me, because I wasn't a top draft pick and things of that nature. But my background kind of put me in a position to be in that mindset. And so I started a company my rookie year, actually, called C. Jackson Investments, and we started focusing on multifamily properties in different regions around the country. And one of the things that excited me about that is because I was in control of that, right? Like, I could decide, I could call the shots, I could find the properties, I could, you know, I can get out and do those things myself, which really drew me to entrepreneurship even more, because once you get a taste of that, you don't want to be boxed in again. You know, you want to be, you know, free to make these decisions. And so, I was in that mindset from the beginning.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, are you ready for the question about it, why he's on the show? He's had such an amazing story so far.
Yeah, so tell us life after football. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously you guys know I've been speaking, and I do that a lot, and but I started a company called Quartz. And I started like 2 years ago, and it's specifically for athletes, professional athletes. And we also geared towards college athletes that, you know, once they we help them connect with opportunities based upon their experience, their backgrounds, things like that. So it could be an opportunity to connect with a company, work with a company, work for a company, partner with a brand, things of that nature. And so what we do is we really tell the story to help these companies and brands understand the value of the athlete from the sense of what they bring to the table professionally. Because a lot of times when you think about athletes, you're going to think about the common things, right? Like, well, they're probably, you know, hard workers and they probably, you know, used to overcoming adversity and things like that. But you don't necessarily know how they fit into the culture of a company, right? Like, what does that really look like? Because they don't have a background of experience that you're able to connect directly to and say, I can look at your resume and say, you worked here, you worked there, and you did these things. And so we help tell that story so that guys can get a better opportunity to connect to the things that they're passionate about and have the type of impact they're looking for. Like I said, whether that's finding a career, six-figure career that they're looking for, or entrepreneurial endeavor, things of that nature. But we're constantly curating these opportunities for them. And we partner and work with the company. So we're really, our revenue comes from the companies that we work with. And so those athletes are able to take advantage of the opportunities we're providing without having to come out of their pockets, because the core of the athletes that we work with are guys that played 3-4 years in a league, didn't make a fortune, right? But are trying to figure out where they want to be in the world. And so they didn't have these huge contracts and they didn't have these long careers. And they're looking to even up the playing field. You know, if you're 30 years old, and me and Dave are both 30 years old, but Dave has been working since he was 22 out of college, and he has these, you know, huge advantages on his resume, how do I compete with that?
Match
up with that, right? And so we make sure that we do a good job of helping tell the story so that you can see why it's important to have a Corey in your organization and how he can track towards the top of what your company can be based upon those intrinsic values that he brings, whether that's high-level communication skills. Because people think about athletes really in a box, but we're highly communicative, right? Like, we communicate constantly. And that's a very important skill to have. But it's also about execution, right? We're trained and groomed to execute. It's all about execution. And it's all about being able to make sure that you are resilient and coming back from failure a lot. And you think about an athlete, you fail a lot in sports. You know, if you shoot 50% from the field in basketball, I mean, you missed half your shots, right? You know, like, so you fail a lot in sports. And when you think about being inside of an organization, you know, you have to deal with adversity a lot. And you want those type of individuals in your company that are used to it and understand how to come back quickly from it.
That's amazing. Did you think of all this yourself?
Yeah. I mean, what happened with me was I started to get a lot of athletes reaching out to me, whether it was guys that I played with or guys that heard about me and the things that I was doing. And they just started asking a lot of questions, just trying to figure things out, you know, because there's not a lot of structure for professional athletes out there or former athletes. You know, just real world stuff, right? And so I started getting a lot of that, and then I decided, I said, wow, I'm getting so much of this. This needs to be a company, and this needs to be set up in a way that
I think it's an awesome idea.
We can educate companies on how to work with athletes and why does that make sense? And it makes it easier. If you think about, because the conversation about athletes going broke is really skewed in the wrong way, right? And so you may have this athlete that made millions of dollars, right? You know, someone like a Antoine Walker who made $100 million. And then he goes broke. Well, he's really like the 1%. Like that's the 1% of athletes, right? Like, the rest of the athletes are the guys that just at like the minimum wage guys. You know what I'm saying? The guys that were, you know, on the team, but they didn't make millions of dollars. And so, you know, a guy like Antoine Walker is a unique case because he had a ton of money and he blew it all. Well, you have a guy who, say, he made $500,000, like take a football player that was making the minimum and made $500,000. And he said, well, I want to be smart. I'm only making $500,000. I know after taxes, it's probably going to be, you know, maybe around $375,000, something like that. And then I want to take $150,000 and I'm going to live on that. And I'm going to take the other $150,000 and I'm going to put it in investments and save it. Right. Yeah. I mean, okay, that's a very, you know, modest situation based upon, you know, where he is. Well, if he loses his job, meaning, you know, he get cut or released or whatever, he still may have some money in savings and some money in investments, but his cash flow is gone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's gone for
sure. So now that $150,000 lifestyle is gone. And if you replace that with a $50,000 job, what's going to happen? Right? Like, you're going to struggle. Right. And so we're trying to make sure that we close that gap and help educate these companies on how to work with athletes and as well as the brands, because there's a lot of equity, brand equity there for athletes that, you know, may have been standouts in college, maybe, you know, in their local scene. And there's a lot of opportunities for them to be able to generate and monetize their equity there and their celebrity there as well. So we try to make sure that we're finding all those unique opportunities there that may be getting glossed over.
What's the name of your company again?
It's called Querkz. It's Q-W-E-R-K-Z. Really came up with the name because it really comes, it's like, it's just a play out the word quirky, right? Like, it's different, right? Like, unique or different. And a lot of, because a lot of times people read athletes wrong. They think a lot of athletes a lot of times are arrogant or not down to earth or a lot of different stereotypes, right? The truth is, a lot of athletes have high level of anxiety. And if you think about it, it makes sense because I spend all of my time doing this one thing. Like, I think about, like, when I was in college, how much time like training and working out and studying film and, you know, just getting ready for games. And like, it was year round, but I spent so much time doing this one thing that, like, when I'm out of that environment, it's awkward for you. You know, like, it's just, you know, and people are always trying to, people always want to talk about that one thing that you do, right? Like, it's never like, hey, Corey, tell me about this other thing about yourself. And, you know, it's almost about football.
Those stories, Corey, even though I didn't play at the level you played it as a professional wrestler. I mentioned I was a pro wrestler. Oh, you don't understand. Everything else I've done doesn't matter. They'll talk about pro wrestling with me. That was 25 years ago, man. I've done a lot of things since 25 years ago, and that's hard for some athletes, right? Because they don't want to talk about it because they wish they were on the field at points. And I think the greatest thing you're doing is connecting these athletes. There are services that do life coaching for these athletes, but you do far more than that, and you get them the job to make money. And you connect businesses so they understand that, and that's so important.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it's all about opportunity. I mean, we get people that are trying to convince athletes. They already have this anxiety already. And then they're saying, hey, go to all these places and do these thousands of hours of networking. And typically you're running into people who really can't help you. And you probably can do more for them than they can do for you. And you're spending all your time doing that, but you're spinning your wheels. And so what we wanted to do was eliminate that part of it and work backwards, right? And we said, well, let's identify the opportunity, the company, the entity, based upon the criteria that the athletes are looking for. Let's put those two together and reverse that back into a real person. And now you're talking to the right person. You're connected to the right entity. And now you can get the type of result you're looking for versus just trying to do a million hours of networking and you're getting, you know, burned out on that.
Yeah, sometimes those networking events, Dave, are a complete waste of time, aren't they, Dave? You're like, why did I go?
Yep. Yeah, how many business cards have I got from networking events? I might as well throw them in the trash, you know.
Because it's never the right people to connect the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's the key to success. You know, you see, it's easy to lose your confidence if you don't have structure and you don't know that you have value beyond playing sports. If you don't know that, you're going to be very, you know, insecure, and you're not going to have a lot of confidence. So we help show them, like, no, you have tons of value. You have tons of value, and here's how you connect that value to what you're looking for to get and receive value back. And I think that's just one of the greatest things that can happen. And it's awesome to see it happen.
It truly is. All right, Corey. Go ahead, Dave. You're going to ask how we can find information, right? I was going to let Dave ask a question now that's more important than Corey.
All right.
Then we'll ask, we'll find more information. Dave has the reason he co-hosts with me. He's a phenomenal radio host, and he's improved 1,000 times because of his own radio show and doing a show with me where he never knows how things are going to go. I booked Corey last night, by the way. That's how I move quickly. And what a diamond in the rough finding him, and such a great story. The last 2 weeks, these two athletes, you can put them in a bottle and say, these are the athletes after life, after sports. They need to follow those two people as far as they can. But Dave has an unbelievable story as well. Go ahead, Dave. Tell Corey your story.
Well, 22 years ago, my beautiful wife had a stroke. She had a headache, and she lost her speech, became paralyzed on the right side. And we turned it around. I mean, after a couple-year grieving period, she decided she was still alive, so there's still a purpose in her life, even though she still can't talk, but she can communicate nonverbally through Pictionary charades, two games I hate, by the way. And she still can't walk. She's in a wheelchair, but I've been helping caregivers for the last 10 years now stay alive, because 30% of them actually die before their loved ones do. And so I've got a website, caregiverdave.com. I speak all across the country. I've been on television, Harvard, NASDAQ, you name it. And so my question to you, Corey, is a lot of people don't realize that they're either going to become a caregiver or they're going to need a caregiver one day. And how about your parents? How old are they, and are they needing care? Have you thought about, you know, caregiving, that you might become a caregiver tomorrow, for example?
Yeah, I'm really interested that you asked that question. So my father, he's 68, in great shape, healthy as a horse.
for you.
Phenomenal person. But I lost my mom in 2012.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
She had multiple cirrhosis. So if you think about caregiving, you know, obviously, like, you know, people that don't know about multiple cirrhosis, if it's very aggressive, you know, you can lose your sight, you can lose your ability to walk,
right.
slur your speech. So she had the aggressive kind. And one of the hardest things I had to deal with in my life was my rookie year going into the league, she started getting sick. And I didn't know, you know. And I'm preparing to get ready for training camp. And my family is really protective. You know, they understand that, you know, I'm on this path to try to accomplish something in my life that, you know, very few people get to accomplish. And so I know my mom, and by the way, my mom was a nurse. So my mom and I were very, very close. And so we would talk for hours, you know, daily. And I realized that, you know, a couple of days were going by and I really couldn't get a hold of her. But she was a nurse, so sometimes she would work at night, sometimes she would work in the daytime. So I was like, wow, we just keep missing each other. And then I found out that she was sick. And it was like the hardest thing, man, because I felt so bad because I'm out here, you know, trying to play football. You know, like, I'm trying to play football, hit people, you know, and my mom is going through this very difficult thing. And so she was losing her sight. And I didn't know this at the time, but so she went completely blind. And so I jump on a plane, I fly home. And once I got home, literally she regained a sight in one of her eyes. And the doctor was like, this never really happened.
It's a miracle.
And so, yeah, so and I was there with her, you know, and I was ready to quit football. I was like, you know what, you know, I'm not doing it. This is literally like at the beginning, my rookie year. I haven't even played a game. It's like, I'm not doing this. You know, I've been away because I was in college for five years, and I didn't come home in the summers because I'm constantly training. You know, I'm trying to, you know, keep, you know, going towards my goal. And I'm like, I missed so much already. And
were they kind of minimizing this, keeping it from you because they didn't want you to affect what you were doing?
Yeah. I mean, it was just
that's
just a total stop. And I had a conversation with my mom. I never forget it. I said, I'm not doing football anymore. You know, I'm just going to come home. And she was like, no, you're not. She was like, you know, what? And she really was just so firm. And she was like, what about being home is going to change my situation? She was like, you worked your entire life. She said, I remember, you know, you going to all these practices. I remember having to call you in the house and you was staying up, you know, 12 o'clock at night, at the, you know, trying to play basketball in the dark and all this stuff. She was like, you've done this for your whole life. Like, you're going to finish it. You're going to go and finish it, you know. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation. She was like, that's it. You're doing it, you know. And it wasn't about, you know, money or, you know, fame or anything like that. It was just like my son had a dream and a goal, and I want to see him accomplish it.
Yeah.
And
they'll sacrifice their lives for us. They'll throw themselves in front of a car for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing about my mom, she was hilarious. So she was in great spirits the whole time she was dealing with this. In fact, my last season, you know, I ended up getting cut, and I remember calling my mom. You know, I'm gonna call my mom, let her know what's going on. And literally, I was like, Mama, you know, I just got cut. And she was like, so excited. I mean, it was amazing. Like, it was just like, she was just like, yes, when are you coming home? And I was like, Mom, I just lost my job.
Oh, jeez.
You know, like, what? And then she was like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. But when are you going to be home? You know, and, but that's just how she was. She was just that type of person. And, you know, so, but it was interesting you asked that question because we ended up, you know, I had to, you know, spend a lot of time with her as she went through that physical struggles, you know, feeding her. I mean, just a lot of things that we had to do to make sure that she had the type of comfort that she needed while she was going through such a rough time.
So caregiving, you're no stranger to
No, he's not.
No.
And so that's a soundbite for you, Dave. That's a soundbite. Professional athlete. Had to be a caregiver for sure.
I'd love to have you on my show, Corey.
We'll make it. We'll definitely make it happen. I have the contact, Corey. Where are you living, by the way? Where do you live? What city?
I'm in Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay. All right. Best place we can find info on you. Learn about Quirks and all the places. Where can we go?
Yep, definitely Quirks.com, Q-W-E-R-K-Z.com for sure. If you're an athlete, definitely go on there. If you're a company, a brand, and want to work with athletes, go on there and sign up and fill out the information, and we'll be happy to connect with you. For social media, I'm all over social media. On Instagram, we got a Quirks app page on Instagram, so it's at Quirks app. And also, I'm on LinkedIn. That's one of my favorite platforms right now because I share a lot of content on there. So Corey Jackson on LinkedIn for sure. And then on Twitter, we got a Quirks app on Twitter as well, at Quirks app on Twitter. And so those are the main places you can find me on social media for sure.
Well, I can't wait till we talk off air. I'm going to get Corey, I'll get you booked on Dave's show for sure, but I can't wait to talk to you and see how some of the brands I'm connected with, we can work together and collaborate on a lot of different projects. So I'm glad we met for sure. And Google me, Corey, and Google Dave, and you'll see that we got to figure out how we can get NFL players involved in the brand of caregiving. Dave, I think you have another plan. And then you also, Dave,
I like that.
Yeah, and then also Dave has one other deal involving head injuries and your colleague we still haven't hooked up yet.
Antoine Chevalier has this patented process for anyone who suffered a concussion or traumatic brain injury, which who in the NFL hasn't, right? And so we got to hook you up with him as well.
Absolutely. So we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah. We have, for sure. And I'm always running into brands. And one thing I'll bring up, Corey, I think that you came up with the greatest idea, is because athletes don't understand how much they're worth in their careers. If they played for a sports team, they can really, brands are interested in them. Businesses are interested in them. And they don't understand that because they don't know how to go out and network, and you're helping them do that. And that's huge because anybody that had a name in their lives, they don't want to ever lose that name. And that name will help get influence, and your brand will get you more opportunities, and the more opportunities leads to a lifestyle. And that's what you're doing. Corey, you created is a lifestyle brand. I'm waiting for you to go on Shark Tank with this idea. It's a great gig, man. I have that. This is me, the promoter. No thoughts of Shark Tank for you, Corey? I think it would be unbelievable.
Let's get the hype going.
Hey, I'll go reach out. I've interviewed Robert Herjavec, so I can. That's my opening spot. See, so we'll definitely talk for sure, Corey. Thanks for calling, and best of luck. And Dave, always a pleasure, and we'll talk soon. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Let's see it. Bye bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Calling all podcasters, musicians, vloggers, and reporters, and everyone else who wants crystal clear recording that's super portable. The Shure Motive family of microphones make studio quality audio that's as simple as plug and play. Many of the world's top podcasters rely on Shure, and with a Motive line of iOS and USB microphones, portability is now your friend. Imagine being able to get great audio quickly and easily from your phone, tablet, or computer. Simply visit Shure.com/motive to start getting great audio for your content now. That's Shure.com/MOTIV.